The Pilatan progress down the side of the incline was erratic. There were times when the slower members of the tribe held up those that followed in their wake, but there were no casualties and little need for the companions who were stationed along the way. However, when the livestock were led down, things were slightly different. The herders who had led them across the plain and who had been in charge of the animals on the flat island of Pilatu found it difficult to keep the beasts in line. The sheep and pigs were terrified, but were closely roped together. Horses, coming down singly, were nervous, but able to keep their footing. The cattle, however, were another matter. Roped together, and with each one pulling against the others in fear, it was inevitable that at one point a rogue would try to make a break, risking pulling the entire herd off the path and tumbling them down the steep incline. It happened despite the best efforts of the herder at the front of the line, who darted around the fretting beasts, barely keeping a foothold himself, to try to calm the rogue steer. He grabbed at the yoke of the beast and heaved with all his strength to try to keep it on the track. The beast reared as far as its bounds would allow, the hoof catching the herder in the groin and causing him to double up in pain, losing his grip and falling off the path. Jack was the nearest, and it was a good thing, for the albino hunter was the best equipped to deal with the immediate problem. Clambering swiftly through the undergrowth, he stopped briefly to check that the fallen Pilatan was alive. The man had saved himself by grabbing at a laurel bush and was in agony, but safe from falling further. The most immediate problem was for Jack to calm the steer before it charged the whole herd off the path. The beast was still rearing, but the combined force of the stubborn cattle around it prevented the break it would wish. But its companions were becoming agitated and would soon try to get away from the disruption, which would only cause further confusion. Ignoring the rearing hooves of the steer, Jack ducked under so that he came up between the agitated beast and the flicking tail and stamping hooves of the creature in front of it. It didn't give the albino youth a lot of space to work, but he ignored the beast to his rear and looked the rogue steer fully in the face. Its teeth were bared, and its eyes were wild and glassy with fear. Smiling grimly to himself, Jack ducked to one side of the creature, his fingers probing the tough corded muscle of its neck. He found the area he wanted and pressed hard, his fingers moving in a small circle until they found the exact spot. He pinched, and the beast momentarily blacked out and stumbled before recovering, this time in a much more sedate mood. Jack moved among the other cattle, calming them, before leading them down the incline, stopping to send Christy after the injured Pilatan herdsman. Once the cattle and the injured man had been recovered and taken to the base of the slope, it meant that the Pilatan caravan had reached their target in one piece, and just in time.
Sunita, Marcos, better find a place to camp, and quick. Let the livestock calm down and get some rest before we begin the real trek. And pray to God nothing else happens between now and then.
The Pilatan camp had been struck a few miles farther into the interior, using the shelter of a wooded area not unlike one found on their island. A fire was set and camp was made, while the sec boss deputed a sec patrol and sentry posts to be established at the four compass points, covering the community while they took a much-needed rest. The forest gave them shelter and increased the ambient heat at ground level, making it less important to build a large fire. The smaller blaze was shielded to prevent them giving away their position.
It shouldn't matter too much, Sunita, as the nearest vill some miles away. But we're not sure what kind of predators may be lurking in the darkness. So a patrol and four compass point posts to check in with should keep us covered. I believe we may be able to rest easy tonight.
I wish I could believe that so easily, lover.
Ryan studied Christy. The red-headed woman's hair had flattened to her scalp and curled into her neck, giving her a worried look.
What's up?
Could just be that Marcos is a bit too overconfident. They don't really know what it's like out there. And he's making assumptions about the area just because it looks like the island.
Yeah, it's got me a little concerned. Figure we should maybe give them a little hand.
I don't know if Marcos will like that.
Who says he has to know, unless it's really necessary?
The one-eyed man gathered his people from where they sat or lay around the camp. When they were together, he explained the situation as it stood.
The best thing for us to do is try to shadow the sentry posts and follow the patrol. Which won't be easy because they're not stoops, just not used to the mainland yet. Hopefully they won't have to learn the hard way, but...
I follow patrol. Maybe they know others behind them, not me.
Right. If you follow them, I'll take one post, and JB, you take another. Then Christy can cover one, and Doc and Dean the last.
What about Mildred?
Ryan looked over to where Mildred was in conversation with Marcos and Sunita.
You know, I think this is one time when we really shouldn't say anything to her. She'll feel obliged to tell Marcos, and then it could all be shot to shit. If nothing happens, then no one need be any the wiser.
And if it does, will the good doctor not feel betrayed?
That's a chance I'll have to take.
Not just you, all of us.
If things go triple red, then I figure they'll be too glad of the help to say anything.
JB wasn't entirely satisfied with the answer. He knew that Mildred would feel betrayed initially, and although she may understand the reasoning behind Ryan's action eventually, it would only serve to put more distance between them. But, as he looked across at Millie in conversation with the Pilatan leader and sect chief, he knew that there was no other practical course that Ryan could take.
Okay, let's do it.
The companions slipped away from the camp one by one, to avoid calling attention to themselves. Ryan went first to take the north sentry point. It was in a heavily wooded area, and he had to tread carefully to avoid making any sound. Once he had them in sight, he shinnied up a tree and waited in the branches, with a good view of the area surrounding. Christy took the south and followed a similar course. For Doc and Dean, it was slightly harder. The eastern sentry post was on the edge of an open plain, and the sparser covering of foliage meant that they had to hang back farther than they would have liked to keep concealed and not give away their position.
We're a fair way away from them.
My dear boy, if we are going to see any action from the local wildlife, it'll probably come through us before it reaches them. Let that be a consoling thought.
Meanwhile, the armorer had made his way to the western point, where the sentry post was set up by a stream, giving a wide view of the opposite bank. The soft gurgling of the stream gave him good cover as he made his way toward the post, keeping in the cover of rushes that had sprung up by the bank. He settled there, figuring it was a good position for concealment, although the cold water and mud around his ankles promised a freezing night ahead. It was Jack who had the most difficult of the assignments, and he was the one best equipped to carry it out. He was the last to slip away from the camp, having no initial idea where the roving sec patrol may be. The only thing he could do was pick any point from which to begin and listen to his instincts. Having made his way out into the wood, so that the noises of the camp were filtered from his consciousness, Jack stopped and hunkered down, stilling his breathing so that he was as quiet as possible. In this state, he was able to focus his senses and maybe determine a direction for the sec patrol. Wherever they were out of range. He could hear nothing, and his only choice was to take a direction and proceed as swiftly as possible. If he was traveling in a counter direction, then he would find them quickly. If not, it would take him longer than he would have wished to catch up with them. But he shrugged to himself, realizing that there really was no easier way.
This night is too long for my liking.
The four-man patrol slowly made its way from one post to another. They had traversed the woodlands between the sentry points and had gone as far as the beginnings of another flat plain.